scripture just jumped out of my head. I've got two conflicting scriptures in my head. I don't know if it's 2 Chronicles or 1 Kings that I'm... Anyway, you'll know this story. David is desiring to bring the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, back into Jerusalem. It's left sitting in a man named Obed-Edom's house. And Obed-Edom is being blessed, and it gets back to David. And the first time they try to carry the Ark, they really kind of did it in a nonchalant, like there was no real fear of God, no honor. It was just, let's just get it and go. And the ark tipped and it was going to fall, and a man reached out his hand and touched the ark, and he dropped dead. And so it kind of freaked the people out. And so they end up putting the ark in this man Obed-Edom's house, which I'm kind of curious how that conversation went. You know, like, I could see myself coming home, hey babe, we just got a new coffee table, killed a guy a minute ago, but we got to bring it in our... I mean, like, what do you say? But anyway, this, yeah, our life is about to change forever. So they bring the ark, the presence of God, into Obed-Edom's house. And like I said, he begins to just flourish and be blessed. It doesn't say how he took care of it or what he did to honor, but I can only imagine that there had to be a sense of reverence and honor and respect and value for what is in his home. After a little bit of contemplation and figuring out the right way to handle the presence of God, David goes back and they pick the ark up the proper way without touching it, and with the right poles and the right people and the right, just everything's in place, right? And it says that every 6 paces or every 6 steps, they would actually sacrifice an ox and a sheep, I believe it says. That's a whole lot of blood and a whole lot of sacrifice. It is. But as I was just thinking about this morning, when God gives us a gift like this, and this isn't just about the sanctuary. I want to talk to you about the gift of the Holy Spirit that we've been given and how we're supposed to manage that, not in a way of like, oh, cool, I got a new toy, or wow, I got this feel-good goosebump thing that tells me your future, or, you know, sorry, but that's often kind of the way I see people treat Holy Spirit, is like as if you're now a psychic, and it feels wrong, and it feels irreverent, and it feels just not okay. And this, I recognize, is a building, but this is the house of the Lord, and we are to treat this place with reverence, respect, value, honor, and to celebrate what God is doing and the sacrifices that were made in your lives, in your finances, in your homes, in my life, my finances, my home, you know, however you want to look at that, that we are to celebrate what God is doing here and now as holy as Him. It's, you know, even having you get in this place we call the river down here, it's not about like, ooh, I just want to feel something. It is, when Zeke came over and told me what he told me, it hit me in a place where I was like, first of all, I don't know what to do with that yet. secondly, like I take this very serious when I'm dealing with what I would call the presence of the Lord, the manifest presence of the Lord, not the omnipresence of the Lord, but the manifest presence of the Lord, where He is calling us to do something, to respond to Him. I don't ever want to take that like, oh, okay, I'm in the water, now what? There is a positioning of our hearts, the positioning of our minds, the engaging of our spirit in a way that we recognize that we are stepping into a holy moment, and the things that we declare, that we talk about, that we think about in those moments are meant to be set apart, holy, set apart from our everyday normal thoughts. And so here's why I'm saying this. I believe, I cannot get out of Luke 15 right now. For some reason, I am stuck in Luke 15. And I have looked at Luke 15 so many different ways. We know it as the parable of the lost coin, lost sheep, lost son. But I just want to pull at the idea of this lost son one more time, maybe. Just one thought, one small thought. No matter how long it would have taken that son to come to the place of awakening in his heart, the piercing revelation of the identity of sonship, no matter how long that took, he was still a son. If it would have taken another year, he's still a son. If it would have listen to this, if he would have come back to the Father's house and been demonically overtaken, he's still a son. You didn't like that one. Listen. Right now, the things that are happening in really all over the nation that I know of, could be worldwide, I don't know, but the things that I know that are happening in this nation where revival is hitting and people are being set free and people are being brought into the kingdom of God, whether they already were sons or not, however you want to look at it, there is a mass amount of these people that are coming and needing major quick deliverance. And like, we were just down, Jay and Laura Lee, Sage and I were down in California at Global Summit at Cheon's church, and we were listening to this man named Sammy Rodriguez, and they're seeing this crazy revival happening in Canada, of all places. No, I'm just playing. He's in Edmonton, and they, like, he said, we are seeing thousands of people saved. I'm going to tell, because I have a little bit of time, I'm going to tell a story. It's his story, but I got to tell it because it just blew my mind. So Sammy is, first of all, he was not a minister, preacher. He didn't have a church. He didn't have, you know, a worship team. He didn't, so that's kind of how he starts off his message. I had to learn how to preach without a platform. I had to learn how to share the gospel without a worship team. I had to learn how, you know, and so he kind of just pure gospel went out and began to declare Jesus. And little by little, they saw a few people getting saved. Then they saw, you know, few more, whatever. Well, he's in a church, a conference type thing, and he's speaking, and he heard the Lord tell him, I want to release resurrection power. So he says this out loud. God's here, and he's going to release resurrection power. And he said, the moment he said it, a woman dropped dead next to him. Yes. How would you like to be known as the church when you preach people die? Right? Oh, Lord, have mercy. So, there was a doctor and a nurse who happened to be in his pretty large, not huge, but a large enough meeting that there was a doctor and a nurse that came down. They started performing CPR on this woman. This woman's 72 years old. So she's a young woman. I didn't say that in jest. 72 now is really not that old. Okay. Thank you. This woman is laying dead. Confirmed by a doctor, confirmed by a nurse. She's dead. And Sammy is now freaking out. But he said, as a Canadian, you don't ever, you can put on a smile. Anyway, his story was funny. But he doesn't really know what to do. And he's going, Lord, you're going to have to show up. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure how to handle this. Well, he just starts kind of sharing, speaking. 15 minutes go by. She's dead now, 15 minutes. 20 minutes go by. Nothing. He hasn't stopped and prayed for her. He's just waiting for the Lord, but he just made this declaration. The resurrection power, dead. So, you know, in his spirit, he's going, Lord, if you don't show up, I don't know what to do. So, meanwhile, there's two 15-year-old boys who are starting their own YouTube channel who are filming the whole thing. They had plans. Their video was going to be called Woman Dies in Church Service. They filmed from the moment she died. They broke their camera out and began to film this thing. And they're right up on it. 20-some minutes go by, and Sammy hears the Lord say, I'm going to resurrect her from the dead now. So, he commands her to come back to life, and she sucked in a deep breath, opened her eyes, and kind of just sat there and looked at him. And I don't remember what he said. She said, like, he asked her if she knew where she was. Anyway, she had never been in church before. Welcome to church. This is what it's like all the time. Right? So, yeah. So, I believe he then asks her if she wants to be filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. And she said, honey, I don't even know how to pray in English. And, right? So, yeah. Like, that's how raw this whole thing was. Like, this woman flat did not know Jesus at all at that point. She gets resurrected, obviously gives her heart and life to Jesus. The whole thing is literally filmed from death to 20-some minutes later, life. Sammy goes into Walmart. He's supposed to be on vacation at this point with his wife and kids. He goes to Walmart because they're headed to the beach. So he needs sunblock. So he goes to Walmart. This woman sees him in Walmart and says, hey, are you Sammy Rodriguez? And he says, yeah, I am. Why? And he goes, or the lady goes, I saw the woman get raised from the dead in your service. And my mom is here and she has, I don't know if it's cancer or whatever. I need you to pray for her. Would you come pray for her? So he says, okay. So he goes over and he starts praying for her. And now people start lining up. And there's a whole line of people in Walmart around the corner. They're all there wanting prayer. And so he prays for all these people. And all of them are either terminally ill or sick, or they know somebody who is. And they want prayer. And then he ends up on the beach with his family. They finally make it to the beach. And they're sitting on the beach. And somebody walks up and says, hey, are you Sammy Rodriguez? Like, I saw the video of the woman being raised from the dead. And he says, yeah, well, So his wife now is standing managing a line of people on the beach. Yep, yeah. And like finding out what they need, what they're, and passing it along to Sammy so he can pray over these people that are responding. Why am I sharing this? Because I believe that as we begin to make declarations, as we begin to not only decree and declare things, your Bible is specific to where two or more come into a place of agreement or declare on earth something taking place, it will happen. So as we declare and decree things to the Lord for and in this place, for and in my life, I think we better be ready for things to start shaking and moving and potentially looking very different. I don't think he ever thought the moment I say resurrection power is hitting this place, somebody's going to drop dead. I just think he thought people were going to go, yeah, let's go, let's get it. And that's not exactly what happened. And so I need you to stand up with me for a second. I'm going to make a declaration. Is it Robin? Sorry, it's Sammy Robinson, not Rodriguez. Same thing. They both start with an R. And they both live in Canada. Anyway, thank you. No, it's important. It is Robinson. It's true. And I actually have the video of him sharing the testimony. I've not looked up the video of the woman being raised, but Robinson, yeah. We have some Robinsons here. Yes. So the first thing I heard was, again, this idea of Luke 15. There are many of us that are waiting for our children, our sons and our daughters, who have gone and tasted of the things of the world, and they have yet to fully engage in the identity of sonship or daughtership. They have yet to engage in the fullness of understanding of who they are. Like, they're this is what I saw. I saw a barricade or a shield. It actually looked like a shield that was over the hearts of certain, I'm going to call them men and women, because most of them are young adults all the way to not so young adults, that have put up a barrier or a shield, or maybe the enemy has tricked them into doing so, but there is a shield over their heart that is not allowing the piercing identity of true sonship to break in and break through into their heart. They know the Lord. They know they're saved. They know what they're doing is wrong. They don't fully, some of them don't understand why. Some of them don't care why. Some of them just think they have plenty of time and they'll work it out, whatever. But there is a barrier and a shield that is keeping the piercing identity of true sonship from hitting the hearts of those who have determined that I'm going to squander the inheritance that I've been given, and I'm going to find my way through this muck. And some are in the pig pen, some are squandering, some are first stepping out, some are whatever. It's all demonically charged. And so right now, if you just join with me, in the name of Jesus, I decree our sons and daughters will return home. We break the power of the enemy. We break these shields. And we declare a piercing of truth would go into the hearts of our sons and daughters. And they would awaken to true identity. And we call them home in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have anything? Okay, well, I just didn't know if you wanted to share something there. I actually don't see myself being the one leading all this. I want to open this mic up because there are declarations and decrees that need to come forth out of your mouth about finances, family, restored marriages. I don't know what all. There's things in your heart that you're going, I desire to see this happen, and I make a decree that this will begin to take place here and now in Jesus' name. So I'm going to make another one. You don't have to repeat this. I'm just going to declare out loud. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we give you the praise and the honor that this house will no longer be a place where anyone will be able to be here and get divorced in Jesus' name. That the covenants that we make one to another will not be broken, will not be crumbled or torn apart, that it would be easier to try and separate the sand of the seashore one from another. It would be easier to take a container of salt and figure out what place this came from and that came from, where it all, than it would be to break the covenant of marriage in this house. I declare over you, if you're in this place and you're longing for your marriage to be restored or to be strengthened or to be whole, I declare over you, in this place, your marriages will be strong, will be strengthened, will be whole, will be put back together, that miracles will take place, that which seems like it's dead and gone, we call back forth into life in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. I want to make something really clear because I heard something when I was making that decree. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So if you are divorced or you're going through a divorce or you've been divorced more than once, there is not a place where God is going, you're done, or I'm done with you, or if that changes who you are, you're no longer a daughter, no longer a son. That is fooey and hooey. That is not cool. I don't know all your circumstances, and I do not judge any of your circumstances, nor does this house. I just believe that it is God's desire that when he brings two people together, did you hear what I said? When he brings them together. Not when we make decisions and do things out of his timing and will, but when he brings things together, that they're not torn apart. So, yeah. So, Sue, did you have something? Okay. You want to share?
It's hard to read. I'm got the new covenant this morning. He says, I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest. And then there's another part in verse 40. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and will be insuredly plant them in this land with all of my heart and soul.
Thank you, Lord. So we declare and decree that the covenant of God would be upon our hearts, that we don't live based upon law, a written don't and do, but we have said I do to the bridegroom, and we make covenant today that is written on our hearts, and we declare every person who walks through the doors of this building that desires or even doesn't realize they desire a relationship with Jesus would enter into covenant that would be written on the hearts and the minds of those who walk through the doors of this building. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Okay, I want to make this a little bit more simple. So when we were initially talking about this, Zach shared his idea, and I said, we really wanted you guys to actually engage. It doesn't have to be this complex, I don't want to say what he's saying is complex. A decree or declaration can be just simple. Like, Father, I decree this will be a house of deliverance. We really want you guys to engage in your hearts with what is in your hearts, to come together and go, as we're dedicating this place, this is what is going to be being released, launched, and happening in this place. So I just want to make it kind of, you know, sometimes it can get a little bit much where you're like, oh my gosh, I don't have that much to say. But, you know, it could be as simple as this is going to be we decree this is going to be a cancer-free zone. There are things that we are taking a stand against where we're like, we're standing in what the Lord has, and we are going to equip and launch people. All of those are just decrees, but it's coming into agreement with what His heart is for this house. And all of us carry pieces of that. None of us just walk in one thing. So
let me just clarify something really quick, because I realize that often I use two words, declaration and decree. Can I tell you the difference? A declaration is about something that's already taken place. A decree is something you desire to see take place, that we will see take place. So making a declaration is, you know, knowing it's already taken place and it's happening currently. Decreeing is, this will come to pass. Deborah?
Living testimony to His declaration. And I declare and decree that this is going to be a house of healing in the emotional, physical, and spiritual. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, God. Father, as I stand in this place, God, Lord, I decree and I declare that this be a house of healing.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, that as the faith in your people increases, God, that we raise the faith of each other, that we see miracles upon miracles, that the flow of living water under this bridge and through this house bring rivers of transformation, rivers of healing from the inside out to the cellular level that transcends into the spiritual being of us, God. Hallelujah, God, that we would experience healing and wholeness here, that the love between each other overflow into the hearts of those you bring into this house, God. That there may not be a soul that crosses that highway, that passes this church, that doesn't feel your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah, amen.
So that, excuse me, that verse I read out of Luke 4 this morning, most translations say, preach deliverance to the captives. How do you preach deliverance to a prisoner? The real word is proclaim as a herald. So I'm not convincing you. I'm not making you say a decree or a declaration until something happens. I'm getting you to realize, hey, you are no longer a prisoner. It is finished. If the work isn't finished, then they're striving for us to do. But the work is finished. We must acknowledge, proclaim, and herald what is done.
Thank you, Lord.
First Corinthians 11:29, and I'm reading it out of the NIV, but I'll use the word that the King James used also. For anyone, this is about the Lord's Supper. Paul's giving instruction on it. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. In the King James, it uses the word discern. Discern the body of Christ, the body of the Lord. Okay. I know it's the discern. I don't know if it uses Lord or Christ, but I know it, the word is discern. And so recognizing the body of Christ. Okay. That's what I decree. Well, I know it's God's. I mean, he really was impressing it upon me when I was coming in here that we recognize his body, each other. What is in each other, the gifts that we have, the callings, all those things. So I decree, because I want it too, I want it in my life, I want it in everybody's life, that we recognize, and I decree that we recognize and discern the body of Christ in each other and in other places too, you know, the body of Christ.
As Zach spoke about Uzziah touching the ark, I was captured a while back. And David was upset because Uzziah's life was taken. And he took the ark and he put it into the house. Approximately 3 months, and the blessings fell upon that house. It was overwhelming. When they left, David named the place Perez Uzziah. Perez in Genesis 1 was the son of Judah. There is actually an anointing called the Perez anointing. Perez means breakthrough. 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 I declare breakthrough on this house. It is time. The Lord is preparing the fathers. It's in Malachi. The fathers' hearts are being prepared for the sons and daughters. And the sons and daughters' hearts are being drawn to the fathers. Let it be, Lord. I sat there and I heard, it is done. You declared the declaration. It is happening. It will happen. Let them come. In Jesus' name.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So many times there's things going on in your life that you cannot see your way out. But faith is the substance and why we hope. And we find out who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And he that started a good work in you will complete it. Because it has been finished. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, your word says that the God of this world has blinded the people of it. And that's one thing that I've been seeing and shown lately, is that there is an enemy that genuinely desires to sift us like wheat. And we don't take that serious enough. It says that he desires to steal, kill, and destroy. That's your marriage. That's your life. And so many times we kind of live through this life. I'm a soldier. I'm a first sergeant in the Army. And so many times, though, we don't view this as warfare. And we kind of go through life lackadaisical and complacent. And we allow the enemy to come into places of our homes. We allow the enemy to come into places of our lives and destroy it and wreak havoc. When people are bound, they don't even see it, bound by lust, porn, hate, anger. So we're literally talking about declaring freedom in this place and deliverance from all of those things. But the Holy Spirit does not bring condemnation. So many men sit in condemnation and they're afraid to come forward to get freedom from these enemies, freedom from these spirits that bind you. The Lord convicts you, but he comforts you. He delivers you and he frees you in the mighty name of Jesus. He frees you. He gives you strength. He delivered you. He sets the captives free. Hallelujah. He says those who the Son sets free are free indeed. And so many of you sit in chains and bondage, and the devil doesn't want you to be free. But we declare this house as a house of freedom in the mighty name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit, God, will come down and walk amongst us, Lord God, that you will set the captives free. Just like that brother said in that testimony, Lord God, only you can do it. Only you can do it. Holy Spirit, we know you can do it, Lord God, so we have faith and hope in the things that we do not see. And we believe in that for our family, for our marriage, for all of this earth, God, in the United States, Father, for the world, for the drug addict, for those bound in porn and lust, for those fighting marriages, Lord God. We'll have the faith that we will stand in the gap. Let this church be a church that will stand in the gap. He says his eyes search to and fro for those who are willing to stand in the gap. And let us be a people who are willing to stand in the gap in faith and fight for those who sometimes don't even see it in themselves, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to add a little bit to that praying for our children. Everyone here who is either a grandmother or a grandfather, would you lift your hand? Now, we are here to claim deliverance and complete salvation and a return to the fold for our grandchildren and also for our great-grandchildren. And we claim this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have had every opportunity to walk up here since I was sitting in the back, because I knew, like, the moment some people were given words or invited to, like, God was saying, that's all right, now is your chance to talk. Now it's been telling you to wait, now is your chance to talk. It's all not been for this moment, but this all these seasons that have led to the day of the Lord. It's all being spoken about now. We're all being called back to the fold. Every single word that was just spoken up here was stuff that all like word for word, verbatim stuff that God's been talking to me about, taking me in random places in the Bible. Testimony every day. Everything is a testimony for me right now. Blow the horn in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain, let all the residents of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming, in fact, it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and dense overcast, like the dawn spreading over the mountains. The last gentleman here, military gentleman, said it. And that was what I just was like, yep, I'll follow that one up. A great and strong people appears, such as never existed in ages past and never will again, in all the generations to come. A fire destroys in front of them, and behind them a flame devours. The land in front of them is like the Garden of Eden, and behind them, it is like a desert wasteland. There is no escape from them. Their appearance is like that of horses, and they gallop like war horses. They bound on the tops of the mountains. Their sound is like the sound of chariots, like the sound of fiery flames consuming stubble, like a mighty army deployed for war. It goes on. This is Joel 2 is a very good chapter. God brought me here randomly, and then to confirm for my very good brother Andrew, I'm losing him. He told me, we met like a week later, he told me to get into Daniel. Like he said, God had a word for something. I got into Daniel. And again, it's just another book of the Bible where someone is being spoken to about the day of the Lord, that it's coming. And that's like just, I've been brought back to the fold for this time, and he is calling people that don't know him know something's going on, and all the people that do know him, no matter how much they know him, and no matter in what capacity, no matter where they are in life, and I do feel called back to this church so that I can be catapulted when I'm ready. Everything from the moment I first came here to the moment, all the stuff that Zach spoke about 15 years ago is all coming to fruition right now, because I'm the only person to say yes to pretty much any job. God has put me exactly where I needed to be, and he's confirmed all of this. I just want you to know, like, everything that's going on right now has been confirmed. Third party people that don't even know what's going on, like, they know what's going, that there's something going on, and he's raising up an army. I got kept from the military. I tried to join four times. I got kept from it for so many very good reasons, and that what might have ruined me, who knows. But he told me that I am to be on the field of battle here. And so, yeah, so are we.
Praise God.
So I'm a guest in this home, but this isn't, this is my community, right? Like, we're a big church body. And I was sitting back, and I couldn't sit in my seat anymore. Because when this house prospers, I prosper. When the church in Anchorage prospers, Chugiak and Eagle River prosper. And so I'm honored to be here at this time when you guys are dedicating, when you're rejoicing for something. And I just heard this, that you're rejoicing in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. So God, we just declare that there's a double portion in this home, in this house, Lord God, and that it will overflow so much that it will affect the community, and it will just flow to the valley, it will flow to Eagle River, it will flow to Anchorage, it will flow to Alaska, Lord God. We just thank you for the double portion you are pouring out.
I just want to share a testimony of how this church is a house of healing. So a week ago Friday, my beautiful wife Ida had fairly invasive surgery. They told her she probably had like 2 weeks where she won't be able to do a whole lot. But here she is in the back of church. And it wasn't really recent that she was able to be up and about. It's probably within the first 2 days. And we had a select, you know, powerful women of this church praying for her. And this is just the power of prayer and how this is a house of healing.
Awesome. Two things. So when I was in here last night, building's empty. I was sitting in the back here, and I heard, it almost sounded like sound coming from the basement. It was like a rumbling. And then as we were worshiping today, I was seeing the room below us, the multi-purpose room, was completely full of angels. Whoa. And as we were worshiping, you know, the Bible says we are above the angels. And as they were releasing the sound, and we were releasing our sound, it was going up as an offering to the Lord. So I first declare that the sound of heaven will be released in this place.
Yeah.
Because there is a new sound that's coming through this house. And the other thing I saw when Zach talked about the river, I saw the river actually flowing through there, and it's flowing. What does the sign say above the door? It's exiting the building. And that's, I've seen almost like a flow of coming in and out, in and out. And so we have been called an apostolic center. And that's what we are, and that's what we're becoming to be. It's the fullness is not here. And there's a lot more to come. So I declare that this will be a true apostolic center.
Yeah.
When Jody said that, I heard the Lord say, don't call this church anymore. It's an apostolic center. We're the church.
Yeah.
This is the apostolic center.
So I want to confirm what Jody said. As we came down here this morning, it was like being pressed in on all sides by the angelic. It was like being on the throne room floor. And I heard when we pulled up here and walked into the building, I heard pealings of thunder rolling and rolling. And so I have to read this. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was the sound of the trumpet speaking to me, and he said, come up here, and I will show you what you must take place after this. Immediately I was standing in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he was sitting with jasper, stone, and sardius in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon those thrones were 24 elders seated, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceeded flashes of lightning and sounds of pealings of thunder, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne and the seven spirits of God. And it goes into talking about the creatures around him, ministering to him. And I just saw it this morning, this place like I've never seen before, like the sound, like Jody or whoever was saying the sound was being released here with a throne room sound that I've never seen us come up into. And it says, day and night, the myriads of angels are ministering to him, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and to him who lives forever and ever. And the 24 elders will fall down before him, he who sits on the throne, and worship him forever and ever, casting their crowns before the throne. Worthy art thou, O God, to our God, to receive the honor and power.
I just want to confirm again and make a decree as well. About a year and a half ago, I had three dreams in one night, and I saw this building absolutely overflowing with people. And they were not like our people. They were not to come in here and stay. These were people that were coming to be healed, to be ministered to be equipped. They were of all manner of people, all kinds of kinds coming. And they were coming because there was a sound portal here. And so they hear the sound and they come. And as an apostolic center, we were equipping. And somebody mentioned a catapult. And my favorite thing, like if I could put people in a trebuchet and pull the trigger, that is my favorite thing. I love launching people.
Yeah.
I'm a launcher of people. And I think that God wants us all to be launchers of people. So I decree that this house, as an apostolic center, will release the sound of heaven
yes.
to the world.
Yes.
And people will come from all over the place. And we will be ready to receive them, and we will equip them and send them out to do the work of the kingdom and to be a blessing wherever they go. In Jesus' name.
In Psalms 96, it says this. I'm gonna read the whole chapter. It'll only take just a minute, though. It says, go ahead and sing your new song to the Lord. Let everyone in every language sing him a new song. This is a really cool part. Don't stop singing. Make his name famous. That's our job, to make his name famous. How do we make his name famous? Tell everyone every day how wonderful he is. He gives you the answer right there. Give them the good news of our great Savior. Take the message of his glory and miracles to every nation. Tell them about all the amazing things he has done. For the Lord's greatness is beyond description, and he deserves all the praise
that comes to him. Our King, he is our King God, and it's right to be in holy awe of him. Other gods are absolutely worthless. For our Lord God is Creator God, who spread the splendor of the skies. Breathtaking brilliance and awe-inspiring majesty radiate from his shining presence. His stunning beauty overwhelms all who come before him. Surrender to the Lord Yahweh, all you nations and peoples. Surrender to him all your pride and strength. Confess to Jehovah alone. Confess that Jehovah alone deserves all the glory and honor, and bring an offering and celebrate in his courts. Come worship the Lord God wearing the splendor of holiness. Let everyone that waits in wonder as they tremble in awe before him. Tell the nations plainly that Yahweh rules over all. He is doing a great job, and nothing will disrupt him. For he treats everyone fair and square. Let the sky sing for joy. Let the earth join in the choir. Let the oceans thunder and the fields echo this ecstatic praise. Until every swaying tree, every forest joins in, lifting up their song of joyous praise to him. For he comes. I'm going to read that again. For he comes. The Lord God, he's ready to judge the world, and he will do what's right and can be trusted to always do what's fair. That last part where it says he comes to judge the world, that's nothing to be super scared of. Because when he brings his judgment, he brings blessing follows after that. I want to read one last thing. This is a house that recognizes that each and every person is created in the image of God. From the person on the street that's snot-nosed and ragged, to the person that's an executive going into a building that's got that multi-$1,000 suit on, to the soldier out there in the battlefield, all created, to the enemy that we're fighting against, created in the image of God. But I want to read this. In Matthew chapter 13, heaven's kingdom realm can be illustrated like this. A person that discovered there was hidden treasure in a field. Upon finding it, he hid it again because of uncovering such a treasure. He was overjoyed and sold all that he possessed to buy the entire field just so he could have the treasure. The treasure was dirty. It was covered under junk and mud. He sees the value in that treasure. Jesus is the one that found that treasure. That treasure is you. And he sees it. And he says, you have value. You have value. You are worth what he sacrificed for. He died for you. Is that not scripture? Is he going to die for something that's without value? No. Heaven's kingdom realm is like a jewel merchant in search of rare pearls. When he discovered one very precious and exquisite pearl, he immediately gave up all he had in exchange for it. That pearl may be somebody who has walked away from the Lord. It's something that already has value. But he went and he sought after it and he looked for it and he found it. So if you on the internet or you wherever you are have felt like you've walked away and you feel like it's so hard to come back, he's calling you and he's saying, you have value. I recognize you. I'm coming after you and I'm going to bring you back because I've given everything for you. So this is a house of salvation. This is a house that shows value to people. This is a house that doesn't turn away something because on the outside it may have dirt on it. But this is a house that will call in the lost, that will send out people equipped to reach the lost, to bring them in, not to build this building and build this structure, but to build and advance the kingdom for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? He's worth it. And what's our mandate? To make him famous. And this house will make him famous by going and telling people daily who he is. Thank you. Create and declare. Come on.
There's a thing about Pastor Zach, most times, actually every time that I usually come here, the subject is something I've already been thinking about. I haven't been here in a while. We just got back from vacation. My wife had to work. But yesterday and then this morning, a new opportunity arose for us without revealing any information. I didn't think too much about it. I walked in here, and I'm like, oh, wow, the place is remodeled. But I had come in here with the intention. I'm like, I was going to come to church anyways, but I'm like, maybe I'll hear some confirmation from God. But instead, it's like, yeah, we see it. It's like, yeah. new building, new sanctuary, and a lot of good words. So I think that'd be a decree or a declaration. I don't know, but just the structure of the place, I think, has made up my mind.
Good. Thank you, Brandon.
I declare and decree that this will be a house that revolves around the full gospel of Jesus Christ. His life, his death, his resurrection, and the power that followed in the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
In May, it'll be 20 years since I went through cancer, and so I decree that this place be a cancer-free zone. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And as I sat down, I had a vision. I saw, this is for you. I saw you guys coming to the altar. And the Father said, restored. For everything that was taken from you, for every area that the enemy has been a thief in your life, that this altar, this place, that you're going to be absolutely restored into wholeness. Every area of your finances, every area of your family, that when people come to this altar and kneel, they're going to fall under the grace of restoration. Thank you, Jesus.
There was a prophecy given about 20, 30 years ago, and some may still be here that remember it, and it talked about this building, this church, being a lighthouse on a hill. I've never forgotten that. And what it really comes down to is the church is who? It's us. It's all of us. This church is a lighthouse in the community, and it's not meant to be just the four walls. It's each and every one of us, and we keep sharing about that in different ways, but we are his lighthouse here in the community.
So God was pressing on me, actually, it was a few days ago. Jody and I were walking and praying and talking. But there's such a new level of hunger here that we have not had. And it's so beautiful. But I want to also encourage you guys, what Sage was talking about, like, becoming part of it. And what I'm trying to say, the last couple weeks we've had really good food. Like last weekend, last Sunday, all I could say, it was like superfood. We're eating superfood. So the week before when he was preaching, it was like, oh my goodness, how am I going to digest all this stuff? I just want to encourage you, this word right here, the hunger for the word. And when we start reading that in a new way, with this new hunger, that it's going to light up like we've never seen before. And I'm so excited about it. Like, it's going to be in depth and about being I can't say the word. We're going to be learning so much. Like, this is going to be a center where we're learning and being released, right? And so as we devour this word and we consume it and we consume it for ourselves, sounds kind of selfish, doesn't it? But it's true. We're not going to be force-fed here, and we never have been. But this hunger that's happening, I just want to encourage you guys to bend into that and be ready for super learning, super food.
I heard the same. It's a whole spread. You're invited to come and eat.
Real quickly, I want to address this river. I've been here many hours. He knows on this floor. Many hours in my past. Recently, during the construction, I was here. You can step in Sundays. You can kneel in Sundays. You can lay down in it on Sundays. But I would say it's open. Those doors are open. This is where I won my battles. Right here. This is where you will win your battles.
Amen. Oh, go ahead.
When we're talking about healing and health, I know a lot of you know that I've had a lot of surgery since I've been here, and a lot of medical problems. And I know you've all prayed for me so many times, and the prayer has meant so much. And I was told that I really wouldn't walk normally with all the hip surgeries I've had. I mean, I've had 8. And most people wouldn't even know that I've had them if you hadn't met me. And when I first arrived here, most people didn't know about my passing out problems and how bad that was. And I do not even have that anymore. And my doctors told me when I went to the Mayo Clinic, they told me that it was going to get worse. And that they just told me that how bad it was going to be. And I was just like, I don't believe this.
Right.
And I'm like, and I just said, no, this is, no. I was just like, no, that's not what the Lord has in mind for me.
Right.
And I'm like, no. And so I came back and I was like, no. And we just prayed. We did a lot of praying. And so this really is a house of healing. And it is definitely a house of healing. And I just want to thank everybody here for all the praying they've done, because it has meant so much. Thank you.
Okay, last one, and then we're going to do one thing. And
so I can't help but go back to the desert, and then the stream, and then the water, and the word, this is the water. And you get to take this home with you. It's in your home. But that's not what I was really going to say. Because sometimes, you know, it's like you hear these powerful things. You know there's new things, but you know, just like the construction of this building, Jody, are there still things that need to be constructed and details done? Yeah, we are no different. This is new. We are new, but the Lord is still working some things out in each one of us. So if you are one of those that you are like, that's not where I am, guess what? This is for you. This is for us. And it's from Mark chapter 12. But because you bear the image of God, you must give back to God all that belongs to Him. Give Him back your whole heart. And it's a daily thing. And when you have to give something back, that means that is a starting point. And I declare, wherever you are as an individual, as a church, as an apostolic center, oops, we will give back all that belongs to Him, because we bear His image. And He will make a way in the desert for a stream where there was not a way before.
Hallelujah. Okay. Everybody stand up. This is how we're going to end this. So I really want you, first of all the decrees, the declarations that were made You need to go back. This will be put online. Go back and listen to some of the things that were decreed. You need to begin to pull on them. Begin to declare them in your own life and what God is doing in this community and in your life. And then step into it, yeah. But I do believe that the Lord wants us to end with a shout of celebration and the blowing of the shofar. And so Steve's going to blow the shofar 78. Oh, no, just kidding. seven times. And we can shout in the midst. See if you can be louder than his shofar. Yeah. And then I'm going to pray over you right now before we leave and before we blow the shofar. So just receive this. Lord, thank you for all the things that you have decreed in this house and in us as the church, the things that are happening around us and in us and through us and to us. And Lord, thank you for this apostolic center. Thank you for this new sanctuary, all the things that you are making new that are reflective of the newness of our temple, ourselves. And so, Lord, we pray blessing over each person. I pray blessing over the food as we go out and partake. I pray that, Lord, our fellowship would be just reflective of our relationship with you. It would honor, glorify you. And we just pray, Father, for a greater outpouring, greater measure of your Spirit. We truly thank you. We honor you for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you raise your shout, I want you to find a place in your shout that is your voice. Don't try to strain it. I want you to come up from your belly, and I want you to raise a shout that is your shout. Don't try and top the person next to you, okay? Because if you try to top the person next to you, you're going to be all hoarse. Ah, yeah, shout. But if you raise the voice and make the sound that you are created to release, something amazing is going to happen. Everybody comes together, and there's a resonance. There's something that's going to come out, come forth. So in Jesus' name, we raise this shout of praise. We thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing in this house, in this moment, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You guys have an amazing week. Go out and to the gym and fellowship and get something to eat. Sit. Listen, here's my challenge. Find somebody you don't know or don't know well and sit with them.